Hello, everyone. Hank Gross here from MidHudsonNews.com, and we're talking today with Poughkeepsie Mayor Rob Rollison. Mayor, how are you doing today?
Well, doing good, Hank. Obviously, we're dealing with positive COVID cases here in the city's workforce, which we're all very concerned about, and that is taken up the majority of the day trying to make sure that we're going to protect our workforce and protect the public.
Now, you have last week you announced 7 DPW workers got it, and then today being Monday, you announced the 2 City Hall workers got it, and you shut down City Hall, right?
Right. So, it started with the Department of Public Works, as you said, last week. We had a series of positive cases after one of our employees, and this is important, did not feel good over the weekend, a week ago, and decided on his own to get a COVID test and tested positive. So that got us to the point where we started contact tracing where the employee was, and then got people tested, and the positives, started to pile up, and we had, I think the number finally is 8, but since that time, we haven't had any more, because we obviously have sent, and I think we may have a few more employees to get into that, that testing pipeline, but that seems to be under control, and the good thing is that all of the employees who weren't feeling well, some were asymptomatic, some weren't, are feeling better, which is the most important thing. And now we have 2 positive cases within City Hall. Also, 1 firefighter tested positive. So what we've done, as abundance of caution, starting tomorrow, we're going to close City Hall as we continue to contact trace and see exactly if there are other individuals, who, may be effective, and we're sending employees for testing.
And if anybody needs to conduct business with the city, they still can.
They can, yeah. Right. So, you can call the numbers or send, go to the website, and we will make arrangements to help you. I just, in the initial first couple of days, please have patience with us, as some of the positions, like at DPW, our 2 office positions, both the employees that worked in the office answering the phones are not there because of the issues at DPW. So we may have similar sort of operational challenges here in City Hall, but what we, what we'll do is once, we identify them, we're making arrangements for other individuals to fill into some of those capacities for us.
And Mayor, how are you feeling? I know you're out and about in the community all the time. You do wear a mask, but you are out there. How are you feeling?
I feel okay, but I like so many other people, I'm stressed. I'm stressed over the state of affairs that we find ourselves in. Not just here in the city of Poughkeepsie, but, regionally and in the state and in the country, and really more worried about the workforce. We have 357 employees, I think the number is, and they are all so vitally important to the city and their families as well, that we need to do everything we can to make sure that they're going to be okay. And at the same time, making sure that we're delivering city services. We're trying to keep, the ball rolling the right way, and everybody has been working so hard, and but it's a lot, Hank, and you know this too. I mean, it's not easy, but we are really very fortunate that we've got a great workforce, and also everybody's making sacrifices, right? Every employee, every employee's family, and then you get that whole other life outside of working here for the city of Poughkeepsie. It's your family life, and making sure that all of your family members are okay. And it's a lot, it really is. And but we're making it work as best we can. And I just hope that the public, and I know they do, that they understand that, challenging times are here now again, and that they may get more challenging. I think they're gonna.
Yeah, I'm surprised no cops have gotten it yet. Because they're out and about all the
right,
time.
Right, right. We had about a month ago some COVID cases isolated to just a few employees. They're all back to work, feeling fine. But other than that, you know, and our police officers, since this started, have been wearing masks. You know, that was a mandate from the chief. And, you know, obviously that is definitely helping within the workforce, because police, as in fire, as in DPW, are front line. They're out there. And what we're, you know, what we're seeing now again, and this is something that I think we all really need to really take to heart and think about very seriously, is that what we're being told, and I think what we're seeing here, just using what we believe may have taken place in the different departments in the city workforce, it wasn't because of one specific large gathering. They are isolated contacts, we believe. So we've got to make sure that we're vigilant. If you don't feel good, don't go to work. If you don't feel good, don't go out and socialize and do what you have to do within your own family structure, because it's not like there are a lot of large-scale gatherings to begin with. And so maybe, you know, what we're thinking, and this is what, you know, we're hearing also from, you know, the health experts, is that a lot of these are could be incidental contacts. And how you prevent all those, you probably don't, but if you're wearing a mask and you're washing your hands and you're not putting yourself in a position that you don't necessarily have to be in, it's like we really need to be super cautious that we can hopefully not see a resurgence that is going to, you know, mandate additional lockdown type initiatives that could come based on the percentage of infections. It's, you know, it's very precarious, you know, when you start to see it rise and you start to say, okay, well, how do we hold it off?
Sure. To change the subject, the budget, where do we stand with that now? The council's been reviewing it?
Right. We had a budget session with the council. They had asked some questions in advance, which we got answers to, and then there was the budget session with, I think, 5 of the 9 council members were present for it, and it's in their hands. Excuse me. I don't think we've heard anything from them additionally since that, but that's about all I know right now where we stand in their process, because it is in their hands.
Now, procedurally, if they come back with a budget that's modified, you have the authority to veto. Is that correct?
I do.
Do you have line veto power?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Okay. But knowing the council as it is, with the majority as it is, anything you veto, they'll probably override. So it's just now we have to wait and see what they come up with in terms of proposals, recommendations, modifications of your budget.
Right, and that's the process, and when what they do or they don't do, obviously then we'll, you know, have to react to that and, you know, obviously take a look at it and then react to it. And I think the thing, you know, for us is, and I know that, you know, they know this, is that there isn't a lot of wiggle room when it comes to large scale changes. I mean, the money is the money. You know, there isn't a fund balance, so either you modify lines through additional revenue projections, or you say that expenses aren't going to come in where they did, or, excuse me, Hank, or you're going to have to make adjustments to the employee structure. So I don't know, because they haven't said. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can get through this process and get into the new year, and hopefully with, you know, a resurgence of the economy and also federal aid that we're so hoping for, that we can, you know, we can get through it. And then, you know, with a vaccine and COVID going the other way, that we'll be back on solid footing again. But right now, obviously, we're not.
Crime is another issue that is on the front burner for you guys. A lot of gunfire incidents. Some are bullet to bodies. Other are just firing. And it's a tough situation to try to crack down on that, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, what you're seeing throughout so many communities in this country, but, you know, here in New York State, you know, the increase in gun violence, increasing numbers of people being shot. We have 15 people who have been injured by gunfire this year in the city. Last year, the number for the entire year was 11, and I think it was 11 in 2018. So we've already, you know, surpassed that. But at the same time, the incidence of just shots being fired, whether randomly or at targets that were fortunately not struck, that number is, you know, way above what it was last year. That it is. It's really troubling. And, you know, there is no rhyme or reason to many of it being able to, you know, be really, really proactive in preventing it. Well, you know, we have a very wide array of resources that we use. You know, FBI Safe Streets Task Force. I actually attended a meeting last week of that team. I was extremely impressed of all the individuals that are there that are going, you know, working things comprehensively, case by case, trying to connect the dots. You know, we're also a GIVE jurisdiction, the Gun Involved Violence Elimination Program, the former Project Impact, where we get monies that we target through crime, you know, crime analysis in areas that have a high propensity potential for gunfire. But a lot of times, you know, where we might be, it's taken place someplace else, or we're not there at the same time that something, you know, something happens. But our officers with our partners are, you know, extremely diligent and committed to finding these individuals, because many times, as you know, you've covered the news for so many years, it only takes two or three people. I'm not saying it's just two or three people that sometimes can be linked to the majority of the incidents, right? Sometimes it's one person, right? I remember in 2015, there was several homicides and gunfire, really, which came down to one individual. And once he was arrested, it essentially stopped, right? So here you have activity involving gangs or sets of other types of gangs that are feuding with one another, and any time that they see one another, there could be shots being fired. There is, you know, sometimes the connection to or some linkage between something that happens in the city of Newburgh, here in the city of Poughkeepsie or Kingston, and recently a young man was murdered here from Yonkers up at King Street Park, and so you know, it's complicated. But the good thing is all of these jurisdictions and the different communities as well, not just the Safe Streets Task Force, but you know, detectives from Newburgh and Kingston and Yonkers and Beacon, and all working and sharing information, because sometimes many of the players are somewhat linked.
Has that been the case recently? I know, for instance, several weeks ago on a weekend, there was a shooting in Newburgh, and then the next day it was a shooting in Poughkeepsie, and there was rumors going around that was one retaliation for the other.
Well, I can't talk to specifics, but I can tell you that there are linkages out there, and a lot of times they are just as you had said, you know, a rumor. Sometimes it's not easy to say, you know, concretely, and that's a definite that this is related to that. But more often than not, there are some tie-ins to something. And we've even seen where something that happened a year ago or even farther back, 6 months, whatever, you know, whatever the case is that there is a retaliatory aspect to it. But it's not like the next day. Sometimes it takes that long until individuals see each other again. And if they're carrying guns, which unfortunately many of them are, gunfire is used in that retaliation, and that's where people are injured. And there's also that sense of, you know, destabilizing the community from a public safety aspect, Had a conversation today, this morning, with a gentleman who lives in an area in the city where we've had several incidents of gunfire, and, you know, want to know what we're doing about it. And we had a great conversation. I didn't have a great answer for him, but he understood what we're doing.
The catch and release bail situation, is that hurting the department and or the city?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think that there certainly is the argument to be made that individuals who have been charged with crimes previous to bail reform at least had to see a judge, and that didn't mean that they were going into jail. It didn't mean that they were going to, you know, have bail set, but you don't have this, you know, stopgap measure where a judge gets to make a determination based on a lot of factors on, you know, what that individual poses to society, or also will he or she come back to court. And that's definitely been something, you know, an unintended consequence of a piece of legislation that was passed way too quickly. You know, you saw the legislature, you know, had to revisit that because of, you know, I would say some of the mistakes that were made in the beginning. You know, when you rush to do something just because now you can do it, you see the consequences, and they had to, you know, go back and revisit it. And then there are still some things that, you know, the district attorney's office is saying and other law enforcement agencies that still need to be tweaked. And even outside of the gun violence and people injuring one another, one of the areas that has also been severely limited is the ability for individuals with substance abuse, mental health issues, alcohol addiction, getting what really effect was a triage after they committed a crime, would go into here at the Dutchess County Jail and have the opportunity to be looked at and potentially being placed into, maybe not at that particular second, but into programmatic care, which helps them with their underlying issue of why they're committing crimes in the first place. And what you have now is that under many of these crimes, which are no longer bailable offenses, individuals are going right back on the street, and they have the opportunity based on their addiction to go back to what they were doing. And that doesn't help them by any stretch. And it doesn't help the community, which most people in the community want these people to be helped and will help them if they have the opportunity. So it wasn't well thought of or thought out, and this is what we're dealing with. And Poughkeepsie is no different. We may have a larger, incidence of these types of criminal activity because we're a city. It's kind of universal, really, when you think about it.
And where do we stand with the YMCA property as a segue? That was going to be for community purposes.
Right. Yeah. That's the goal. We're working actively right now with the county on the draft of a intermunicipal agreement, which will give the county the ability, once passed by our city council and the county legislature, to invest money in that property. And so that is something that I hope we will be able to get to our council and legislature shortly, and then from there, next step would be, having the building taken down, greening the space temporarily, and making it into, a place where people can go outside, and then as the plans for the larger initiative, such as, you know, a youth empowerment center, et cetera, will then start to take shape.
Mayor, thanks very much for talking with us, and have a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and everybody needs to practice safety during Thanksgiving. And
yeah, that's it, Hank, and thank you for that. Well wishes to you and your family always, and to everyone, just please practice good public health safety so we will be able to get out of this sooner. With the resurgence of the virus. And I think, you know, the next couple of months are going to be tough for all of us, but we got to do what we did last time. You know, we kind of beat this back before. We can't let our guard down. I can assure everyone in the city of Poughkeepsie that we're going to do everything we can in city government to be part of that, you know, good practice of public health safety effort.
Mayor Rob Rollison, thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.